Good morning, church. We have another opportunity to praise the Lord here this morning. Let's stand. Let's open up in prayer. Father, as we have gathered here together in the name of Jesus today, Father, we want to come to you now in spirit and in truth, precisely as the way that you told us that you want us to come. And so, Father, as we set aside every single weight, which the Bible says does so easily beset us, and focus on you, to put aside everything, to sing, to praise you, to give you worship here this morning. We thank you once again for just meeting us here with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though mild as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, till all the ransomed church sins by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. And in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save.
Amen. You know, the thief in verse 2, who was hanging on the cross next to Jesus, he's going to meet us up in heaven someday. And he's going to say, you know, I made it in, just barely. But then in a nobler, sweeter song, he says, I will sing of thy power to save. Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I plead, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. it washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth thee. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth thee. Faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since this my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
This was written by a woman who could have been very bitter with life and bitter at God. But she chose to praise Him. And now she's in heaven. Her name was Fanny Crosby. She was blind because the doctor had made a mistake on her at a very young age. But instead of being angry about it, she chose to apply herself. She wrote this song among others. Blessed assurance, she said, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
He is Lord, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Indeed.
Sent His Son.
Soul. When trials fierce assail me, as storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon His mercy and trust Him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice has stilled the waters amid their tumult seas. My pilot and deliverer, to him I all confide. For always when I need him, he's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, in him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages.
In the chorus it says, I fear, because I'm anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. As we were singing that song, I was trying to imagine when Jesus came walking across the water and Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come out to you. And he said, come. So Peter happily starts walking out. I don't really know that we can grasp how high the waves were. I mean, they must have made him really scared to the point where a wave came by and he lost sight of Jesus. He couldn't see him anymore. And his faith just started going down. And that's when he said, Lord, save me, as he's slowly sinking down. But I've anchored in Jesus. When we keep our eyes on him, doesn't mean everything is perfect, but nevertheless, he is in control.
I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Who is worthy to be praised.
Who is worthy to be praised.
So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Who is worthy to be praised.
Who is worthy to be praised.
So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Who is worthy to be
praised. Who is worthy to be praised.
So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Who is worthy to be
praised. Who is worthy to be praised.
So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Who is worthy to be praised.
Who is worthy to be praised.
So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord.
I will so shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Well, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Well, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
Are you shouting it this morning?
Are you excited today? Let us shout hallelujah. Shout unto the Lord hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Bible says, let all that trust in thee rejoice. Let everybody shout with joy, for thou defendest them. Let all that love thy name be joyful in thee. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for Jesus lifted us. Jesus lifted us. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. We are going to rejoice in the Lord always, and again we say rejoice. Oh, we're not going to allow circumstances to get us down, but we are going to praise the Lord. We are going to worship the Lord. We're going to lift the name of Jesus higher and higher for the world to see. Praise his holy name. The Bible says, Romans 5:3, it says, Paul says that all I do, I glory in my tribulations. And we can say the same thing. We glory in our tribulations, knowing tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hallelujah. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that you make all things work together for good to them that love you, to them that are the called according to your purpose. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for a day of victory today, a day of celebration. Thank you for anointing the pastor as he will bring the message to us. Touch him mightily, give him the freedom to preach, clarity of mind, and let the word come out with power and pierce us like a two-edged sword. Oh, Lord, we know we have the victory in Christ Jesus, and no weapons formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for joy and peace in every heart today, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that also you are Jehovah Jireh, you are provider, you are the God that supply all our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And out of what you have given us today, we want to give to the work of the Lord. We want to give with gladness, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. And God is able to supply all our needs. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for mighty victory, Lord. Oh, we love you. We appreciate you, Heavenly Father. We pray for the anointing upon Thomas as he gives the invitation, anointing upon everyone that gives a testimony today. And thank you, Father, that also your name will be glorified with the testimonies. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. You make, O Lord, oh, you make us, O Lord. You make us to have a testimony. It's because of you, Lord. And we praise you and thank you. We love you, Lord. We want to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor today. And pray this prayer in Jesus' precious and a mighty name. And all God's children said, amen, amen and amen.
At this time, the people at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church are giving their tithes and offerings as part of the worship service. You too can participate even if you're not physically with us by writing out a check and mailing it, or using the donation link at the bottom of the homepage. Please remember that God uses His people to finance His work on this earth. God gives us the ability to work and make money, and in return asks that His people give back a tenth. Thank you for being obedient and being part of our service.
This week, I was going to write a thank you letter. And I asked God, what am I going to write upon? And the Lord said to me, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, that prepare a yardstick. Prepare something so you can know what time it is. And I started off, and instead of a thank you letter, I'm up to probably 9 or 10 pages right now. It's going to be another gold dancing around a golden calf. But here's a title I want to speak about this. The trap is about to be sprung. The world government cannot control a nation that does not have a central bank. Let me say that again. The world government cannot control any nation unless it has a central bank. Each time there is an international or national crisis, it is followed by new legislation of restrictions. Every time there's a crisis, it's followed by new laws restricting us further and tightening us up. Let's just briefly roll through history. Let me take you back to the foundation of this nation. When this nation was founded, we had no central bank. The Rothschilds demanded a central bank. And in 1791, George Washington signed a charter for the first Bank of America with a 30-year charter. In 1811, the representatives in Congress were so fed up with it that they simply did not renew the charter. Pressure was built, and the same year, later that year, the Second Bank of America, this has nothing to do with Bank of America today, the Second Bank of America was founded, which lasted to 1841. And in 1841, the American legislature simply says, forget it. We do not want another central bank. We're done with it. The world government said, we'll take care of that. In 1861, the American Civil War broke out. And the purpose for the American Civil War was to break America in two pieces. Because the Rothschilds had a hard time. And behind the Rothschild, we had the Kabbalistic Jewish world government to control America. It was too big, and they couldn't control it. Abraham Lincoln went to the, can I say that, the Jewish bankers in New York and said, we need some funds to fight this war. And the New York bankers said, we'd be very happy to bankroll you. But here's the interest rate we want. We want between 24 to 36% of the money we loan you. President Lincoln said, keep your money. He went back to Congress and simply said, according to the Constitution, we can print our own money. So they begin to print American dollars known as greenbacks. And these were debt-free funds. In other words, no one owed any interest on them. The war was over. And the bankers forced the legislators, and I'm going to have this in writing, probably in about a week or 2 weeks, you're going to have a document on this. So I'm just giving you highlights today. So Congress passed a bill, notice now again the legislation, that outlawed Lincoln greenbacks and called for them to be pulled in and burnt. In January 1866, the United States had $1.9 billion in cash. That was a lot of money. Because a dollar at that time was worth about 1,000 times more than it is today. And if they spread it out on every American living, there was $47.42 per person, including babies, children, everybody else. In 10 years, in 1878, they had shrunk their money, cash in America. And in 1878, a person had $14.60 per capita. Now, I told Charles this sometime. I said, you know, I can't understand in American history, you never talk about this. You never read about this. These were horrible times of contraction when the money supply was contracted. Well, the bankers were simply saying, we want a central bank. In 1893, we had what is called the 1893 panic. And again, the stock market in New York fell. People were thrown out of work. There were huge strikes. And they had what they called a Pullman strike. So more than 125,000 railroad workers struck. And the bankers said, put them back to work. The U.S. Army was called out, 12,000 soldiers, and 13 railroad strikers were killed before they had manhandled and destroyed that strike. At this time also, they closed a lot of silver mines. They didn't want to have any competition. From 1893 up to about 1898, we had a depression, very severe depression in America. And then it loosened up a little bit. And in 1907, again they crashed the stock market. 50% loss. And unemployment. People moving west. People in the east lost their homes. Just like today, walked away from their homes and came west. Because of all this, the newspaper was bombarded. Said, we need a central bank. We need a central bank. We need a central bank. So we will not have these crashes anymore. But in 1913, December 23rd, we got the Federal Reserve Bank system, which is the biggest ripoff in the history of mankind. When the United States government said, we relinquish our right to make money, and we will give it to these private banks, and they will print our money, and then we will get the money from them, and we will pay interest on that money. What a ripoff. Got to move on. They were not happy. They wanted more. World War I broke out, lasted from 1940 to 1918, changed the map of the world. And in 1920, they began a build-up of the finances of America. We talk about the Roaring 80s. And in 1929, you had the stock market again crash. And this one, it crashed so badly that it wiped out just about every saving in America. And it wiped out stock markets across the world. Listen to this now. Without the 1929 crash, Adolf Hitler would have never taken power in Germany. The Soviet Union would have never continued if it hadn't been for the stock market crash and depression 1929. Then we got World War II. And that lasted from 1939 to 1945. And now we had a number of wars here. The Korean War, 1950-53. Do you remember the invasion of Cuba? When we invaded them in 1961, the CIA recruited thousands of Cubans, trained them down in Honduras, sent them up with a fleet, put them on a beach, and once they'd invaded, Kennedy said, no cover, no air cover, they were slaughtered. That was 1961. The Vietnam War, which lasted from 1945, that's when it started, 1945, with the French and the Japanese, and then we took it over. It ended in 1975. Some of you remember the oil crisis in 1973. Now, up to 1973, we paid 47 cents a gallon here in California. These were the good old days. I remember in 1967, actually 1963, when we paid 19 cents a gallon. And dollar was $3 a barrel. That's what we paid in those days. Well, they had a little embargo, had an oil crisis, and remember now legislation. Because of the crisis, if you were old enough, you remember that we had to sit in time for 2-3 hours just to fill up our tanks. We could fill them on every second day and odd and even and so on. I happened to live in the San Francisco Bay Area at that time. And the San Francisco Bay was filled with oil tankers. 50, 60 oil tankers sitting outside Richmond where we had a big refinery. And they refused to unload it because they wanted to change. You remember double nickel? They said we can only drive now 55 miles an hour. We got to save oil. Oil is running out. There was a lot of other restrictions that came out of that. And we had to drive 55 miles an hour until Ronald Reagan, bless his name, simply said, do away with it. And we were able to drive again a little bit faster. Gas prices then rose from 47 cents a gallon to $1.25 per gallon. I remember people horrified. $1 a gallon! We were horrified. How many of you remember Grenada? Well, we invaded Grenada in 1983. The United States had to invade them to save the Grenadians from the communists. So we did that. And then remember the Iran-Contra war. When we sold weapons to the Israelis, the Israelis sold them to the Iranians. The Israelis took a good cut. We got some money back. We bought weapons on the side, sent them down to the Contras in Nicaragua. And in turn, they loaded up the airplanes with drugs that came up here. The CIA sold the drugs. And then we had Ali North. We had Admiral Poindexter. Remember those guys? And they were convicted, but no one went to jail. Even the big president, Reagan, Teflon president, he was whitewashed. Nothing happened. Then we had the invasion of Panama. Remember that? 1989. We got a drug dealer down there by the name of Noriega. And he was not paying what he should pay to the CIA. So they simply said, take him out. And we had one of these wonderful invasions of little Panama. When we liberated them from what? And then the Gulf War. Remember that? 1990? We had to liberate Kuwait from Iraq. So we had a war there. 1995, the world government says, now we got to go to Bosnia. And we intervened in Bosnia in 1985. And then the mother of them all, the 9/11 attack. Remember that? What kind of legislation came out after 9/11? You look upon that. We got the Homeland Security. We got a whole bunch of restrictions on us. And today, every telephone is monitored, email monitored. We are in a society of total control. Thanks to 9/11. Of course, we had to punish those idiots that did that, right? So we opened war in Afghanistan in 2001. And we've been in Afghanistan since 2001, and we've not won that war yet, and we never will win it. Well, that was not enough. Now came the invasion of Iraq in 2003 to liberate the Iraqis. Remember how they told us that when America comes in there, you know, the Iraqis would come out with flags and wave and kiss us and say, thank you for getting rid of Saddam Hussein. Remember that? But what did the Iraqis do? They hated us. They still do. That brings us to 2011. The uprising in the Middle East. It has upset the whole apple cart. And now we've got a current oil crisis. And the price of oil is rising and rising. We had a crisis in Japan, which I believe was man-made, courtesy of the United States government. We sure have left some footprints in this, on this world. But behind the United States stands a world government. Our president is not a free man. Our congressmen, senators are not free. They are told what to do. And here's what I'm going to say to you right now. The door, the trap is about to be sprung. You see, if we get more pressure and we have a financial meltdown, there's going to be a clamor for a global solution to a global problem. If we look back upon what I just read for you here, and look back the track records, the uprising in the Middle East, and the oil crisis we're in today, and everything else is simply man-made so that they can bring a solution. Let me tell you this in closing. We have never been so close before to a world government as we are today. Once the United States is forced to surrender its sovereignty, it will never go back. The freedom that you and I have today will never come back. Never. This is a time to simply say, I'm going to do everything I can for the Lord Jesus Christ. I read to you from Matthew chapter 24, verse number 21. Jesus said these things are going to come. There's going to be a satanic government. And we need to prepare. Today we can preach the gospel. Today we have freedom. Tomorrow, it might not be there. The question is, how are you going to use your time? And in closing, let me say this to you that like us. You watch our videos and so on. Please remember us financially when you watch us. Because it does cost money to do what we're doing. We are a small church and we appreciate it. Give us about 2 weeks and you will have this in writing, detailed with footnotes. And you can read it, weep it, and realize we are just about down to the end. We got quite a few things here to pray for today. So you could have a good prayer time. Let me just read these to you here. This is prayed for Augusta Duker. I don't know where he lives. I want God to be the head of my family and take over the affairs of my family and live in the fear of God. I offer all my children to God to use them for his glory. And God to save the family of my wife, brothers and sisters. So we're going to pray for that. Pray for Michelle Gilman. She's going through trials. And she's our sister living in South San Francisco. Continued prayer for the Timmermans as they are now in South Africa. Pray for protection as the political climate is not very good and the crime rate is very high. Pray for Reverend P. Ephraim's ministry in India. We need to pray in an extra $4,000 so the minister can pay Social Security taxes over the first quarter of 2011. We really need some help with the taxes, so we need to pray for that. Continued prayer for Michael and Luba Blair that they will be able to get their business going. They are in a dire financial situation. Continued prayer for Al Norberg that his eyesight will be saved. Continued prayer for Barney Williams, who is recovering from hip surgery and a stroke that has taken away his ability to speak. And prayer against the financial meltdown of the U.S. economy. I spoke about that in the beginning. Oil stands today at $113 per barrel. Then the final one, pray for Galena, her immune system to be strengthened. She's ill with a lot of signs of infection, weakness from fighting infections, addiction to methadone. She's trying to get off methadone and is down to 3/4 of a pill a day. So we need a lot of people to come on up here and pray. So come on up. Prayer warriors, come on up here.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that we can come before your throne and set these petitions before you. And we thank you that you are listening and that we can ask these things in Jesus' name. And right now, I just bring before you Galena. She has been having trials, as you know, many, many, many trials because of her pain and because of a witchcraft curse that was put on her. But we broke that curse, and now she's still having battles. She's taken so much pain medication that she has to take methadone, and now she needs to get detoxed from that. So, Father, we ask for you to do a miracle, for you to complete that detoxification that she's trying to do with methadone, and for you to strengthen her body and to strengthen her immune system. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, here that we can assemble still in the United States and have prayer. And I want to lift up Michelle Gilman to you, our sister. And we thank you, Father God, for meeting her wherever she's at, Lord. You know the situation. We don't know it. But, Father, we know that the devil is always out to steal, kill, and destroy. So we come against Satan in the name of Jesus, and we bind every demon that's trying to do damage in her life. And we thank you, Father God, that she'll be able to rise to the occasion, take authority, and to be successful. And so we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is the same today and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. So I thank you, my Heavenly Father, that you will touch the Timmermans right now. There is no distance with you, and I praise you, God. I praise you for your angels to protect them wherever they go and wherever they will be traveling. And they will have safety wherever they go. And when they go back home, for the same protection, God. And I thank you that you be with them in a special way, that you give them the knowledge of your Holy Spirit, how to do different things. They might not be so they are used to it, but they will be led by your Holy Spirit, even when it might look strange, and that they will be not afraid to step out, and you will be with them. And I give you the honor and glory, and I pray for a tremendous blessing upon their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, please forgive me for any unforgiveness in my heart, and I receive your forgiveness. I never stop saying that because I'm one of those unforgiven people. A few months ago, I have a small testimony first. I went to my daughter's house to bring her to church here, and as I saw in the conditions, the way she's living, I blew my cool or lost my temper. Since then, the enemy has been afflicting me by telling me that I'm not worthy of praying for other people, and that's wrong because I'm God's child. And at this time, I want to pray for Augustus Duker, who wants to have God and his head of his family. And that is very important because I saw myself drifting and letting other people take charge. It is very important to have God as your head of your household. Jesus Christ second, and of course, Holy Spirit. And by teaching this to our children, you know, the fear of God, which means not to hide and run away from Him, but respect our Heavenly Father, respect our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and we will have an abundant life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, I just come to you today, and I just thank you, Lord God, that we have a place to come and worship you. I thank you, God, for this church. I thank you for the people that are in this church. And I thank you, Lord God, for our pastor and his wife and for the elders here, Lord God. And Lord God, I just I pray and ask you, Lord God, that we as Christians get behind our pastor, and that we try to make it here on Thursday night worship to where we can get teaching and to where we can grow mightily in the Lord. And Lord God, I just pray that this congregation and the people that are standing here will repent and come to know that the time is now to serve you, Father God. and that we all come together in one accord to serve you here on Thursday nights and on Sunday. And Lord God, I just pray for the situation with the oil, that there's nothing too big or too great that you can't handle, Father God. Amen. And I know, Lord God, that you're bringing Christians to their knees in America and throughout the world, Lord God. And that we do need to get on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ that died on a cross to save us from hell, from a lake of fire. My God, people, it's time to wake up. Yes. It's time to wake up in this country. And it's time to serve God and to serve Him with all our heart. It is over. It's time to serve God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bible says that the night is far spent, the days are hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness or chambering wantonness or envy of strife. But let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And I thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that yes, we need to repent. We need to turn from our wicked ways, like it says in Hannah, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. And we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let it be no open door in this church, O Lord, that the finances will be affected. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let us repent, let us all come in unity and in one accord and ask the Lord to provide. He's Jehovah Jireh, He's our provider. He can open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, not only can you provide the 4,000, but you can provide 8. You can provide 12. You can make it tenfold. Oh, Lord, there's no limit to what the Lord our God can do. And, Lord, we ask you and put this need at the altar right now. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, we all come in unity. We all come in one accord. And ask you, Lord, to provide for the finances. And we ask you also, Lord, show us a heart and line it up with the Word of God, that there will be no wicked way in us. The Bible says, it says that if there is wickedness in your heart, God will not hear you. If you regard iniquity in your heart, God is not going to hear you. And show us, we pray today, in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day, for this opportunity to be here, to follow you, to hear your words, and follow you. Father, we ask him for this man, Al Norbert, for his eyes. You can heal everything, Lord. For you, Lord, nothing is impossible. For you and for our Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask and pray for his eyes to save. You can heal, Lord. Nothing that's impossible. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to heal this man. And in the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to stand here and pray for some very special people. But first, I want to remind everyone, and myself especially, that not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy, he saved us. And all the works of righteousness I thought I did for years in the secular world was like, it was what we do for Jesus that counts. So I'm very honored and grateful to be able to pray for Michael and Luba Blair today.
Yes.
I remember all those years ago when Michael was with the church and was very active as a trained technician. And Luba came from Russia and had lots of things on her mind from Russia and what have you. And one time she wanted to play music with Dora and I when we were doing the music. And it took a few weeks because she had so many burdens on her heart. And finally came the night when she played with us. And we all grinned and laughed and we had a wonderful time. We left and in the meantime they went to serve God. They got married and went to serve God. And the way I understand it, the people in Missouri didn't want to hear the word of God. They wanted to hear their own doctrine. So Michael's returned. He's a very skilled in computer science and what have you. And now Luba is as well, a graphics designer. So, Lord, I pray for them right now. I believe there's a reason that Pastor John gave this to me, because I've been trying very hard on my own to help Michael and Luba. So maybe it's time I just ask you, Lord God, you do it. But just let the fire of the Holy Spirit come and set upon them and help them see the opportunity that does exist. Opportunities exist at all times, up markets, down markets. There's a great opportunity for what Michael and Luba can do. Lord, show them the way. Bless them right now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And while I'm here, I want to pray for Melissa Cowell. That's the wife of the man from whom we rent right now. And she's been quite ill in the chest. We all know where it's coming from, the chemtrails. But she went to the hospital and became worse, and she's quite ill. So we pray right now that she'd be healed from her bronchial and chest thing, and that she would come to know Jesus and to serve him as well. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we want to come to you right now and pray for Barney Williams. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we want to bind any sickness that has come to that man. Heavenly Father, touch his mind and help him to speak. Heavenly Father, bring back his speech. Lord God, you can do anything. You are the God that heals us and that supplies all of our needs, Heavenly Father. Precious Lord, we thank you for victory. And in the name of Jesus, we pray for his body to line up, Heavenly Father, and be a vessel to serve you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for healing and we thank you for victory that will happen to this man. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Father God, I just lift up this pastor, P. Ephraim, and his ministry in India. Father, as you know, India serves many false gods, many pagan gods under Hinduism, and it's a very stronghold of Satan's there that he is up against. But Lord, it's no match for your Holy Spirit. Father, we just pray that you will anoint this pastor, that you will open doors and close doors that should be closed and opened, and that you will anoint him to preach and teach your word so that it has power, Lord God, and will bring many souls to you. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name, and we ask you, Lord, to bless his home, protect him from danger that I'm sure is lurking all around him, and help him, Lord, in his ministry in every area that he is having problems, that he needs your help. Father God, give him many, 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 many harvests of souls in that land. In Jesus' name, amen.
My Heavenly Father, we thank you right now that we can pray for about a half year. In the name of Jesus, I speak to his heart, to the arteries. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Any blockage got to be unblocked. Any nervous tension of employment, finances, difficulties, I speak to the nervous system right now. to relax and no more contraction, no more pain in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, my Heavenly Father, right now for healing him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, we command every spirit of infirmity that you loose him right now.
Yes.
And be bound, ripped, and chained, taken to prison by God's holy angels. And we thank you, Father God, for granting that prayer. And we thank you right now for your Holy Ghost coming upon him. In Jesus' name, amen.
We command the spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus to loose Javier in the name of Jesus. And command you to be bound, gagged, chained, taken to prison by God's holy angels. Let Javier trust in the Lord for the finances, for family, for every area of his life. Let him put his trust in the Lord. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for healing him, Lord, for restoring him, O Lord, and giving him the victory and use him. And I pray, O Lord, that he will also see his wife, O Lord. We pray for to touch his wife and be with him in church and be with him everywhere, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And that disappointment that his wife is not with him, we command the Spirit also to go in the name of Jesus and let him give the wife to the Lord and let God do his work. And we thank and praise you, Heavenly Father, for touching him and healing him, Lord, restoring him and leading him. Be no anxiety in his life from here on. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for the prayers being spoken here. They're on the altar. They will be answered. And we praise you for that now. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Okay. Do we have a testimony? Okay. Norma?
Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to see you from here. Well, when it comes to the sermon today, I have a very good experience last week when it's come to offend. I was offended last week on the middle of the week. And I did not say anything. I did not get angry. But you know the devil, he's always looking for your weakness. Because they're always looking for you to get upset, to get angry, to be offended every day. So we have to know that. And we have to know how to fight it. And I know that. But still, after that day, it kind of like, I'm not saying anything, but the devil always putting that situation on me and started to build that bitterness, you know, and I pray every night about it. But it's still there. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we are praying and I'm praying about it. And then I think Saturday or Sunday morning, before coming to the church, I said, God, can you give me a piece of your love to my heart? So that bitterness will be covered, will be gone. Because I don't want to feel that. I don't want to get angry. And so after that, I prayed and came to church. And during that time, there's a person come over me and tried to offend me. You know? And that moment, I did not feel anything. That moment, I did not say anything. I did not feel anything that to make me angry, because God gave me that piece of love.
Some time ago, during the church service, or it was the song service actually, we sang the song, I Surrender All, and I heard God clearly say to me, surrender. So I said, okay, Lord, I will surrender. And that opened up a lot of new avenues to me. I had been through deliverance and spirit-filled, and And so now God wants me to be, you know, surrendering all to Him, which is not so easy, but I'm reminded every day that I need to surrender to Him more and more. And so, of course, I do my spiritual warfare prayer, which helps to keep me organized as I pray. And so that really helps a lot too. So I praise His name that He is thinking about little me.
I had a friend of mine last week, and not a close friend, but he was a contractor and we were somewhat friends. And he died he was flying his ultralight plane and crashed it. And he's a contractor in Yuba City. And one time, it's been several years back, I was on the job with him, and I was complaining, I think, about employees and how, you know, they can try your patience. And this guy was in the Catholic Church, and he gave me the scripture in Proverbs. It says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much power comes from the strength of the ox. So that's what he gave me. And he might have been one of those that were born again Catholic. It's hard to say those two words in the same phrase for me, but he was a Bible reader. And so anyway, yesterday I had to work, and I wasn't really planning on going to his funeral, but I just happened to drive by when it was going on or getting ready to start, and I thought, well, I'm going to go in there. And normally I don't even want to go in that facility, but I decided to go in and check it out, basically. And what we had was basically a pretty big auditorium. This is a Catholic church in Yuba City. And it was full to capacity. And it had people standing around in the back, which I was pretty amazed at the amount of people that were there. But what was even more amazing was the foolishness, really, that these people believe. And the people that I saw, that I know from around town, in my watching them, I said, well, these are good Catholic boys. You know, because they did all the rituals and everything. But before they brought the casket in to the church, they said he was given eternal life when he was baptized many years ago. And so then they went through their whole service and what the stuff that they do. Of course, there's a lot of pagan symbols in the building also. But they kept talking about how good of a man he was, you know. And anyway, I left with the idea of how much confusion there is in that place. And the people, really, they're in confusion and they're in tradition. And they're locked into it. You know why? From generation to generation, they get the same thing, and they actually believe it. But from the outside, sitting in and listening to their, basically some of their theology was spoken, and I thought, how can you believe that stuff? But it is what it is, and that's the way it was. yesterday for me. So I'm thankful for truth. And it's good to have some truth. And I like seeing it for myself in that word. So it's I don't think they even cracked open a Bible there yesterday. Nobody came with one. But thank God we got some truth that we can lay hold of. Okay, I have any more? Okay, Natalia?
And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all that,
the fishes.
All the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered.
Open
the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you higher lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you higher lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Amen.
Natalia is a pretty hard act to follow. Thank you, Natalia. I wanted to talk about Pastor John's sermon today, and he always comes up with something good, and most of the time I feel something's directed toward me. And we're talking about anger and insults and how to handle that. He reminded me of when I worked at Lockheed. Actually, I was working at the subsidiary of Lockheed before World War II. I was in my early 20s, and I was a secretary for an engineering group, what they call shop engineer. And in those days, we used to tease each other all the time, and he who got mad lost the argument. So I kind of got used to the insults that came my way and joking. And a lot of the joking contains some vicious words. It's all in fun. And I just want to say that one of the fellows one day told me in front of a group, says, "You can't insult Reggie." I had learned what you brought out here, John, that you let it run off the back, your back like a duck with water. So I appreciated this because it brought it to the Bible to me and some of the things I've learned. I have been guilty of being insulted and almost had a fist fight a couple times in my lifetime, like we did when we were kids. I was in a very belligerent atmosphere. It's the days when boxing was a big thing. Everybody learned how to box and fight each other. And every day there on the schoolyards there was a couple of guys always fighting over an insult. But I just I liked the idea of just taking it easy and not getting offended. And take it as a joke. Thank you.
All right. Going strong in your 90s. That's what I like to see. Okay. I'm going to close in prayer. Father God, thank you for this day and for our many blessings. We thank you for the word that we heard today. We thank you for the opportunity to sing. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to pray for others. We thank you for the ability to assemble. And we just want to give you praise for all that you do for us. We thank you for eternity that we have to spend with you. And that hope of salvation, Lord, that we know that you are going to do what you say you're going to do. And that is that you have provided salvation for mankind. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for being with each one of us as we go out this week to stay on target and to do what you have set for us to do. We thank you for strength to do it and the power to go forward and in your kingdom. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.